Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. The description of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was contained in the previous scriptures. الَّذِينَ يَتَّبِعُونَ رَسُولَ النَّبِيَّ الْأُمِّيَّ الَّذِي يَجِدُونَهُ مَكْتُوبًا عِنْدَهُمْ فِي التَّوْرَاةِ وَالْإِنْجِيلِ. And the Quran Sharif declared this, that you find me recorded in your books. The point to note is this, that the Jews, the people of the book, were against Islam and against Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That entered into battle, they were giving banishing orders, they tried to poison Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, tried to assassinate him, but they tried everything, but they did not refute this claim of the Quran. To disprove Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they could have said, we don't find you in our books. When the Quran Sharif said that you find me, find Nabi in your books, they could have just refuted the claim, but they didn't refute the claim, showing that they knew that he is contained in their books. The description of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is given in the books, previous scriptures, some of them. Al-Nabi al-Ummi, the unlettered Nabi, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Look at this word here, unlettered, right? So, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is coming from Makkah Mukarramah, coming up as an orphan, didn't get the opportunity to go to any type of a tutor, any school, university, college, no training in language, in writing, absolutely no training. And his whole life, from birth to approximately when he was 40 years of age, when he received inspiration and wahi, it was before them. Not that he was coming from another land, he was coming from Makkah Mukarramah. They knew him, they knew the lineage, they knew the conduct, the behavior, everything was before them. There wasn't a thing of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that was concealed from them, right? Then when he comes of his prime age, at the time when they used to call him Al-Amin, the most honest, the most truthful, right? They didn't find speaking a lie. His greatest enemy would say, La majarrabna alayka al-kadhib. We didn't see any lie in you. We didn't see any dishonesty. The greatest enemy would say that. So at that time, then he claims nubuwwat, right? And then, as a support to his claim, he presents such a magnificent book, right? And he says to them that if you feel that I am dishonest, I am a liar, I am an impostor, then produce just one surah. And the smallest of surahs, Inna Atina Qul Allah, produce one. They were prepared to give their lives, they were prepared to spend the wealth, they were prepared to do everything, but they could not accept this challenge of the Quran. They knew that this is something different. It's like a rose, right? A rose that is natural. It's got the texture, it's got the fragrance, it's got the shape, it's got the color, it's got everything, right? So the most you can do is make something artificial. But the artificial, can it ever come near the actual, real? Can it come? Can't. So the word of Allah Ta'ala is the word of Allah Ta'ala. It's natural. It's original. Nobody on earth can bring something that is by Allah Ta'ala. Coming from Allah Ta'ala, you can't make it. A small thing like a rose plant, I see all the world put together, and they produce something like a rose, just one rose. They can't do it. So the Quran, Allah says, you're not going to do it. فَإِلَّمْ تَفَعْلُوا وَلَنْ تَفَعْلُوا. You can't do it and you will not do it. وَالْأُمَنِ اسْتَطَعْتُمْ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ. Call everybody to help you. Whoever you want, computers, scientists, linguistics, anybody you want, call them to support you in making this, producing this. What a great claim the Quran Sharif had presented and offered them. But they turned it down. So they knew that this is the truth. Maktuban indahum fit Tawrat. So one is, he's a Nabi, he's unlettered. Now he presents such a scripture, such scripture in such language. The language is something else, totally different. The level of its fluency, the level of its presentation, the depth of the meaning, the development of the arguments, right? And the conveying of its message, then the accuracy of its predictions, everything, it's got everything. If you're looking just at the language, then it's par excellence. If you're looking at the message, then it's too great, too deep. In every respect, it's perfect, complete. Just a simple example, simple illustration, right? If you read the best of novels, right? Best of novels, best of books. Perhaps by the second reading, you'll be tired. Second, all right, give it third one, fourth one. You're tired. You're bored of it, you don't read it again. The Quran Sharif is the only book of Allah Ta'ala. You read, and you read, and you just go on reading. Just go on reading. You'll hear someone is making a khatam daily, someone is making khatam a second day, right? Every second day. But if you hear anybody saying, I'm tired of reading, maybe in need of sleep, right? Tired in that respect, but not tired of reading. Let us go on reading. Be it a man, be it a woman, be it a youngster, be it a grown up. But it's the only book. There was one Tabligh Jamaat that came back from Canada some years ago. So they were invited to one family jalsa. A child had completed the Quran Sharif, 11, 12 years of age. So the family had arranged a jalsa and they were called. So they attended the jalsa. The turnout of the jalsa was the Jewish neighbor accepted Islam. Very staunch in his Judaism, right? Don't want to move out of Judaism. But when he heard this child reading and heard what was the reason for this jalsa, the whole family turned to Islam. And they said, see, we are very orthodox, right? But you can't find one person in the whole Jewish fraternity who had learned the Torah from cover to cover. One person. You may have learned some chapters, one surah here, one surah there. That's about all. But one Jew, one person on the face of the earth who's learned the Torah from cover to cover, you can't find. Here is a child, 10 years, 11 years of age. He doesn't understand the language, Arabic. He doesn't speak the language, right? There is no entertainment in him. He's reading something that he doesn't understand at all. But there's so many things that he has done. One is he's memorized it from cover to cover, right? Number two, he's got the pronunciation like an original Arab. Because, see, it's a Semitic language. Judaism is a Semitic language. Right? Syriani, whatever language they speak, Hebrew or Syriani. So it's very close to Arabic. Right? And many of them are coming from Palestine, etc. So they have some understanding of Arabic. So now they're looking at a 12-year-old child, and he's speaking and reading in the same dialect. Like imagine a child of 12 years of age, right? And he's memorized something in English, right? But in the American dialect, 20 pages, but totally complete, perfectly in the American dialect, right? Where it's got nothing to do with the Americans, absolutely nothing. Here he's got it in the Arabic dialect, perfect, accurate. Now they can't just overcome it. How come this child did this? How did it happen? My one friend, he was in Jamaat, you know. So the taxi was there near the Merkaz. And there was an American, black, who was performing namaz, you know. So this person went to call him that the taxi is here and you need to come. So the American is saying to him, just move out of there. I need to bounce a few rakats. Now the dialect is different, the language is different, right? And it sounds so amusing, right? Now, it wasn't that he was joking, this was his language, how they speak. Now this child, at the age of 11 or 12, and he could do it so wonderfully, accurately, precisely, presentation was absolutely fabulous, how he managed to do it. Then he could do it, he could memorize the whole thing from cover to cover. Cover to cover, exactly the same dialect, in a language that is totally foreign to him. So he says, this is nothing short than a miracle. So they explained to him that this is the prediction of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that Inna lahu lahafizun, we will guard this Quran Sharif. Other books, there was no guarantee that Allah Ta'ala would take care of it. So other books, what had happened, Allama Qurtubi, I think he records the story here. He says, Mamun al-Rashid used to have a yearly conference. And at the conference, people of different sciences, they will present their papers. Someone is in medicine, he will present his papers. Someone is in science, he will present his papers. Someone is, for example, a mathematician, so he'll present his papers. So all different types of people will be present from all parts of the world and they'll present their papers there. So one person, he presented his paper at the conference. Mamun al-Rashid was very much impressed with him. Called him, got to know that he was a Jew, etc. Invited him to Islam. But he says, no, I can't. It's against my family tradition. So all my family's, everybody was Jew. And for me to turn away is not the right thing. Anyway, as it is in Islam, that we don't force. We invite the person gently, he comes. If he doesn't come, then we are not answerable for him. Our work is to invite the person gently, respectfully, in a beautiful, acceptable manner. The next year, the same youngster, the same person, he came in and delivered his paper again. But this time when he delivered the paper, from his appearance, you could see now he's like a Muslim. Dressed like a Muslim, behaving like a Muslim. So, Harun al-Rashid now called, or Mamun al-Rashid called him again, and he's very much impressed at the article that you have read. But I want to know, how do you turn away to Islam then? From your appearance, I make out that you are a Muslim. Then what made you convert? What was the reason for the conversion? He says, after you had extended me the invitation, then I began to wonder, is Islam a true religion? And I am a professional person and a professional calligrapher as well. Up till recently, calligraphy was a big thing. But now these computers and all that, there isn't that level of need for this calligraphy, right? But I remember when we were studying, calligraphy is a big thing. How they would write and all that. They had a special pen, and how they would practice this calligraphy. If I'm a professional calligrapher, apart from me being a professional person, I'm also a calligrapher. So I said, whatever it costs, let me go and experiment this myself. I'm a professional person of learning. So it's just right for me to make an independent research. So I wrote some scriptures of the Torah, some scriptures of the Injil, Bible, and some of the Quran Sharif. And I added a lot of things into it, in the Injil, Quran, Torah. Any person that was little familiar with the Quran or the Injil, Bible, or the Gospel, or the Old Testament, New Testament, he would know that there was a lot of changes. So I took the copies of the Torah, the Old Testament, and I went to the Saturday, the Sabbath, you know, the Sabbath they have a congregation. I went up to the synagogue, wait for the whole session to end, and I was there. I had a couple of good copies, and the calligraphy was good, the paper was excellent, and I charged a good price. And in no time, this whole thing was sold out. Everything was sold out. Then I went on a Sunday, I went to a Christian church, right? Same calligraphy, paper, presentation, but a lot of editions. And in no time, that thing was also sold. Then I said, I tried out with Judaism, I tried out with Christianity, and we go and experiment it with the Quran Sharif. So I did the same thing on a Juma, out of the masjid. And I went, the first copy I went to sell, I nearly get hiding. First copy. There's changes. Who asked you to make these changes in this book? I had to cover up quickly and run away from the place. First. Now, I understood that this thing is something different. Yeah, I made the changes. Nobody was concerned. And here, the first copy I went to sell, and I nearly catch hiding. So, this whole incident was discussed at Hajj, right? In the presence of I think Imam Uzai or Ishaq ibn Rahibi or Sufyan Thawri, whoever it was. So when they heard the whole incident, they said, no, it must be like this. It must be like how I'm saying. Because, you see, as far as the previous scriptures are concerned, then Allah Pak says, بِمَسْتُحْفِزُ مِنْ كِتَابِ اللَّهِ. They were made to guard the book of Allah Ta'ala. They were required. The Jews and the Christians were required to preserve the book. Right? So they were the trustees. They were entrusted with the protection, preservation of the book. Right? But as far as the Quran is concerned, Allah says, we will guard it. We have taken it. They change, so they change the book. And the book of Allah Ta'ala, the Quran Sharif, right? Allah Ta'ala cannot change, so the book will not change. It is like it was, and it will be like it is now. There's not going to be any change. So I understood that this is something different, totally different. It's a book, and it's really the book of Allah Ta'ala, and it's a book that, but no changes, absolutely no changes. Therefore, see, there's a discussion amongst the ulama-i kiram about the Rafizis. The Shias, right? Are they Muslims or not, right? So, the Shias, it's their belief that there were a lot of changes in the Quran. A lot of changes in the Quran. Like, for example, they'll say, Wal Asr wa Nawa'ib al-Dahr, right? So, they'll say that Nawa'ib al-Dahr is omitted, right? Right? And for example, inna aatayna kal kawthar, they got another ayat, waja'alna aliyan sihraka, or something similar, right? That, now these verses were all in the Quran and they were omitted, right? So it's our belief that if anybody says that one word of the Quran Sharif is changed, then he's in Islam. Now they are saying 500 verses have been changed. Right? So they can't be in Islam. How can they be in Islam? How can you ever think and entertain the thought that marriage with them is permissible? You can't even entertain the thought. Because they actually believe that that's part of their belief. That actual book is in Ghare Surra Man Ra'a, right? It's hidden in a cave. It can only come up at the time of Imam Mahdi rahmatullah alayh, right? But up till then, that real scripture is not to be found. Now it's all their nonsensical beliefs. The beliefs are a little bit completely, not completely, not little, completely off. absolutely off. You know? The Quran is like a healer, right? Munazzilu min al-Quran ma huwa shifa'. It's a healer, right? So a doctor will give a patient some medication and that is supposed to be healing him, right? So the healing must take place very soon after you have administered the medication, right? They are saying that the Quran Sharif will only be effective in the time of Imam Mahdi, because the real Quran Sharif will only come up then. So from now till then, everybody is astray. That's what they are alluding. So on the one end, the Quran Sharif says we are a cure, we are a guidance. But the guidance, when will it kick in after 2,000 years? So like you're administering the medication to the sick person, and the effect of the medication is coming up only after 70 years. So you will go to the doctor, you take the medication, after 70 years, you will see, you're not going to live till that time, not going to live, whatever. But is that making sense? So that's why I say it's a really man-made thing. This whole Shiaism is a forced up thing. Right? They got about, they entertained the belief of Muta. So I was speaking to one Shia. He said, no, we practice it, to this day we practice it. In Surat and in neighboring towns in Surat, they got this whole Shia thing, they still got it there. Right? They call them something, what? Not Khojas, they call them something else. Rauji Oras, Rauji Ora. There's a Ravzi Ora, so they have that. Right? Ravzi, it's a powerful spell, it's called Rauji Oras. So you can see them, you can understand them from their dressing. Men will be dressed up in a way, and women. So you can make out, you won't falter them, right? So they still, up to this day, he tells me that they still practice the Mut'a. Mut'a is now, is another name for fornication. But that fornication is endorsed. Not only endorsed, but there's so much of reward for it. So you can sleep with a woman, right? The essence of it, you don't have to go through a formal nikah. A formal nikah is where there is consent, both sides, consent of the guardian of the woman that you're marrying is done in an open place, there are witnesses, etc. Then that nikah is valid, right? So that's what that is the requirement of a valid nikah. But this thing, you don't require it. So you just have to talk to that person that I wish to make mut'a with you for, say, 1 hour or half an hour, right? Do not mention any price, no witnesses. So what is the difference between this and fornication? No, there's no difference. This is more or less that mut'a concept of this. So for the person who does it once in his life, then for him is the reward of Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu, straight. Now, no religion, no divine religion has got it that you fornicate one time and you get the reward, you get such a reward. Except this thing here, this concocted religion, that you make zina once and you're getting the reward of Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu. Second time, then you're getting the reward of Hazrat Hassan radiallahu anhu. Right? Third time, Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu. So it's so much of inspiration, so much of encouragement, you must do it. Right? And the fourth time that you do it, you get the reward of Na'uzubillah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Right? Now, if this was true, right, then everybody would have jumped at it, number one, all the Shias. Number two, they would have advertised it, you know. Hey, today, my father is doing Mut'a, so come for the Mut'a ceremony. Or, he would have said it very proudly, you know, my father, he got the martaba of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he did it four times. Does anybody announce it? You know, in the nikah, right, your daughter is getting married, you announce it, give a walima feast, everything happens. You know, so you're so happy about the whole thing. But do they make any type of a feast at walima, at muta? So it is a disgraceful thing, it's an embarrassing thing, they know about it themselves, it's embarrassing. But just that the nafs got the better over them, the way the nafs had gripped them, that they can't just give it up. You know? Then they got the concept of muta. The other one is where you can speak a holy lie. Kya kehte hai? Taqiyya. Taqiyya. A holy lie. And that holy lie is such an important thing in them, is they say, La imana liman la taqiyyata lahu. If you don't, there's no holy hypocrisy, then you don't have iman. There's no holy, if there's no holy hypocrisy, then there is no iman. So that means you must get engaged in taqiyya. Right? On the one end, you got the Quran Sharif saying, Fasda bima tu'mar. Openly declare what you have been commanded. Inna kafaynakal mustahzi'in. We will take care of you. Balligh ma unzila ilayka min rabbik. Wallahu ya'asimuka. Openly declare the message. We will guard you. And now their belief is totally different. Now you must just have hope, holy hypocrisy. You know, don't become too open. You know, don't become too open. Don't become too vocal. Just try and hide your thing. Now, we saying openly declare, say it what it is. Every Nabi is coming in. لَتُبَيِّنَنَّهُ لِلنَّاسِ وَلَا تَكْتُمُونَ. And Allah Pak has taken a covenant with every Nabi that you're going to openly declare. You're not going to conceal it. And what they are saying, no, you must conceal. You must hide away. Then if it was so important to hide away, then would there have been any wars in Islam? The wars came about because Islam was open, you openly declared Islam. Then there are oppositions that came on the way. When oppositions came on the way, and you fought with them, right? So it was such an easy thing, you could have had a holy hypocrisy. You know? Say, no, don't worry, your idols are also alright, Islam is also alright, don't worry, we'll carry on. Like, the other name for holy hypocrisy is democracy, right? Democracy, holy hypocrisy, all the same thing. If you think about what they talk about, it's the same thing. When a politician talks, then it's hypocrisy, but they give it the name democracy. But if you look at, you analyze the whole thing, it's the same thing. No difference. They tell you, right? You know, you must vote for me and I will give you a free house, give you a free car and all that. You know. When he comes into the term, then all the promises are forgotten. And he says, it's just a political promise. No, it wasn't true. You ever hear the political promises come true? It was just for me to come into terms. In Tamil Nadu, one person stood up for election, you see. And he says, Ab to seva ka vakt hai. Now it's the time to serve people, humanity. It's the time to serve humanity. Because the first time you all voted for me, then I put up my dwelling, my house and all, everything. I set it up very well, right? Alhamdulillah, I got a fabulous house, mansion, I've got state of the art. Second time, then, when you all voted me in again, you know, second term, then I did my business, my operations, my factories, everything. I'm running very smoothly, alhamdulillah. Now I'm free, now I'm farig. Ab to seva ka waqt aaya. Now is the time to serve you, see. What he's telling, that you see, if you want to vote anybody else besides me, that person first have to put up his house. Then he'll have to put up his business. Then he can be of service to you. And me, I'm already on now. I finished all this. Ye sab marail mere tay ho gaye. I passed all this. Now I'm here for your service. So, the democracy, right? So that democracy is part of the religion. So anyway, we're talking of Nabi Salasim and the descriptions that are contained in the previous books. So amongst the descriptions of Nabi Salasim in the previous scriptures is Laysa bifahashin. Nabi Salasim was never aggressive, impolite, rude, aggressive. You won't find that in him. La yadfa'u bisayyi'at as-sayyi'a. He won't return aggression with aggression, impolite behavior with impolite behavior. He won't do it. Walakin ya'fu wa yasfu. He'll forget and overlook. He'll forgive and overlook, right? So he won't return an evil aggression with aggression, impolite behavior with impolite behavior. Rather, someone is being aggressive towards him, then he is forgiving. Someone is being impolite and is overlooking the person. So, and then the hadith says it again, even the scripture said that for his personal self, he will never retaliate. Yes, إِذَا أُنْتُفِكَتْ الْحُرْمَةِ When the Sharia is being violated, then Nabi Sallam will really show that I am totally upset at this. He will show it. If it was the command of Allah Ta'ala that was being violated, then he will show his anger. But for his personal self, personal injury, etc., he'll never retaliate. That was Nabi Sallam. Then those previous scriptures have got the description of Nabi Sallam. Makkah Mukarrama is his birthplace. Medina Munawwara is his place of migration. And his kingdom will rule right till Syria and neighboring countries, right? And everything as the prediction of the previous scriptures, they see it. يَجِدُونَهُ مَكْتُوبًا عِنْدَهُمْ They find it. They find him as though it's written so clearly, they find him as though. Salman Farsi, his story is quite popular, very popular. That he was, at birth, he was a fire worshipper. Iranian, Persian, right? But for some reason, he wanted to know the truth. This was now before the birth of Nabi Sallam, and first he went to Judaism, then to Christianity, etc. And somehow, olden days, he was taken as a slave, right? Captive as a slave, and he landed up right in Medina Munawwara. Now he's a slave, he's in Medina Munawwara, and his job is to attend to the date trees of his master. He's climbed up the trees to attend to the tree of water. As he's attending to the trees, his boss is talking to one of his friends. You know, this is what happened. It's the latest now, Medina Munawwara, this is what's happened. It's a Nabi that has come up and all that. When he heard this, he jumped from the tree. Say, what happened? Because this was what he was looking for. He spent about 30 years of his life in this searching, right? Until he became a captive and sold as a slave, etc. Now, it wasn't here, he didn't come here to come and look after trees and all that. He came to look for the truth, 30, 40 years of his life, just to look for the truth. Now, here he's pruning the trees or something, and there he's overhearing the discussion. His boss and someone else is talking about Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. When he heard this, he understood, this is what I came for. So he jumped. Imagine a date tree, normally it's quite high. He jumped from that. And he asked, what are you discussing? So the boss came on steps, hey, none of your business, you're going to do your work. Slave after all. So he couldn't say anything. But he says, no, my curiosity had the better over me. So I went the first day with a gift. Right? Because now I'm rushing for time. I need to do it. But I need to confirm that what is being told is the truth. So I went with a gift of dates and I said, Ya Nabi Allah, or however he must have addressed, Ya Muhammad, because he hadn't yet accepted Islam. This is sadaqah. So Nabi Sallam did not accept it. Right? Said, right now, I got it. One on. The prediction is Nabi Sallam won't accept sadaqah, zakat and all for himself. Right? He won't accept it. So one prediction is on, I got it. From the Old Testament, it's got it there. Alright, now I went back, came along, maybe second day or whatever, came the next day, then I brought again some gift of dates, and said, Oh Muhammad, this is a hadiyah, a gift. Now Nabi Sallam accepted, he said, the second is on now. First is on, and the second is on. Now I'm looking for the third prediction, that was the seal of Nubuwwat, right? It was on his back, engraved on his back, seal of Nubuwwat. So I came again trying to look for the seal of Nubuwwat. The clothing in that day, sometimes it would be a kurta, but generally the clothing of the Arabs, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was shawl, right? A lower gear and a top upper gear, like how you wear a haram, you know? Something similar, right? So now I saw Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam at a Qabristan. And he was just finishing up with the Qabristan. And I am trying to now locate this Mahr Nubuwwat. Now obviously the body is closed. You can't just pick up someone's upper gear and see that. In the meanwhile, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam got to know this is what I'm looking for. So he picked up the shawl and I saw the thing. I kissed the thing. I said, no, Now, Ashadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. I confirmed all three. What I was looking for, I found it. I found exactly what I was looking for. Then, alright, Nabi Sam, he accepted Islam. So, Nabi Sam, Islam is a religion where we help everybody. Every Muslim, underprivileged, whatever. That's Islam. We don't, not only for ourselves. So now, it's a question that he's in slavery, and he needs to be emancipated, freed of his slavery, right? So Nabi Sam encouraged that, let's emancipate, let's free him. Right? So, the master wanted so many date palms, and it must bear fruit. And then Nabi Sam helped, and it fruited, you know, like it wouldn't fruit. Right? And that is why up till now we say, these dates are from Salman Farsi's bag. You must have heard, huh? Someone coming from Hajj Umrah, they will say this is from Salman Farsi's bag. I think it was not his bag, it was the Jew's bag. But because he had paid this upfront for his emancipation, therefore we say it was from Salman Farsi's bag. Right? This was Salman Farsi. So they found Nabi Sam in their books, contained there. So accurate, exact, like they found it in the books. There's nothing for them now to move away. So the one that wanted the truth, he saw it. Up to today, if someone is sincere, he's looking out for the truth, he'll find it. But if he's insincere, he's biased, he's preconceived, he doesn't want to see the truth, then there is no cure for such a person. The cure is for the person who wants to see it. He wants to see it, Allah will create a way. You got in the teaching of Islam, right? Some Arab travelers are traveling, and there is a storm at sea, they are shipwrecked, and the boat lands up in some island, right? There they see one Buddhist, and he's got his Buddha, and he's making puja to the Buddha. He's praying to that idol of his. So they invited him to Islam. When he heard about Islam and the truth, immediately he left his 50 years of idol worshipping, he just left it, abandoned it, accepted Islam. And in a week, he became more pious than these people. His whole life, whole night, he's making namaz. And then they wanted to start him off. You know, like I say, any Muslim coming up, so they want to start him up in life, give him a capital, let him start off. So he said, what is this for? Well, I don't need this thing. I didn't come to Islam because of this. Allah Ta'ala, you all saying me, I don't know you all, what type of Muslims you all are. You all are saying that Allah Ta'ala has taken responsibility for every soul. So what's the need for you to give me this much? So he became a pakka Musliman. Right? Strong Muslim, right? But when I read this whole incident, I saw it from a different dimension. I came to the conclusion that Allah Ta'ala wanted to guide this person here. Right? He caused these people to come into a shipwreck, get into that island and invite that person there. So Allah loves his servant so much. For one person he died, he got 10 people. They wrecked up at sea, all that storm at sea, coming up here, he died and they're going back. So Allah loves his bondsmen so much, slaves, he loves them so much. Just that you need to be true. Need to be true, need to be honest. Whether you are a practicing old Muslim or out of Islam, but just be true, honest, searcher of the truth. And then you'll see you'll just progress. You're looking for Allah Ta'ala. You're not looking for spiritual experiences. So sometimes you come into Etikaf and you're looking for spiritual experiences. I must see some light, something happening, when is it going to happen now? Don't look for all that. Some dream, leave all these things here. You didn't come for that. That perhaps in the cinema you'll see more show over there, right? Well, now the cinema is in your pocket nowadays. You can see it there, or the show you can see it there. You haven't come for that. Yeah, you come only for the pleasure of Allah. Leave all these spiritual experiences and feelings, all that. That by what is going to happen, definitely, without doubt, is going to happen, right? After you close your eyes, all is going to happen. It's only spiritual after that. Right? After you close your eyes, then what's there? Everything is spiritual. Everything that was closed, everything opens out, right? فَكَشَفْنَا عَنْكَ بِخِطَاكَ That whole cover that was on your eye, that is removed. فَبَصَرُكَ الْيَوْمَ حَدِي. Now you're seeing clearly, sharp, clear you're seeing. So that which is going to be there after your death, right? One way or the other, you're going to see it. You don't have to strive for it now. Yes. What you cannot strive for when you are there, that is what you must work for. There, you can't start reading namaz. In the grave, you touch the grave, and you will start reading namaz. Now, all my qazas I'm going to do now. At the grave, you're going to do all your qazas. Can it ever happen? Will that be accepted? You start your qazas now. That is the place for that is this world here. So no, I didn't read enough Durood Sharif now. Now let me start my Durood Sharif. Not counted. You do it or you don't do it, it's not counted. Udhuluha isbiru ulam tasbiru. Was that ayat? Fasbiru ulam tasbiru. Whether you are going to endure it or not, going. So what is not available there, right, you going to be working for that. There is no deeds. And here is no rewards. Here, what rewards you get is just a perk, right? The actual reward is coming up there. So that reward that is going to, that what is not available, not possible there, you strive for it. That is your deeds. Quran Sharif, zikr, namaz. If you hit someone, hurt someone, someone's rights been violated, try and fix all that up. That you can't correct when you're out there. What you cannot correct when you are out there, now you fix that up now. Right? And things that you want to see, that will become visible for you the moment your eyes close, everything becomes clear. Everything you can see. It's going to happen. So there's no point in looking for that now. You're going to waste your time looking for that. Perhaps you won't see it. And even if you see it, then what? You saw it, then what? So Allah Ta'ala grant us the tawfiq. Begin to appreciate our Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. His striving, his struggle. What he strived for, that must be our striving. His way must be our way. Right? Because at least, the least we can do is be the calmness of his Mubarak eyes. His, our ways, our behavior, our adherence to the sunnah must be such that it be at least a source of calmness to him. Allah Ta'ala grant us all tawfiq.